is a part
Love Talk
of the gospel.
Radio.
In order to have faith, we learn, if you have your notes and you go back on your notes, we learn that in order to have faith, you have to have the word of God. It's impossible to have faith without the word, which we preach all the time. Praise God. So last week, we talked, our last closing, we were at Isaiah 53:4-5, and we're talking about physical healing and divine healing as being a part of the gospel because it's written in the word in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, and I read from the NIV version, same King James, but NIV version. It says, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrow that weighed him down. And we saw his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment from his own sin. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so he could behold, so we could behold, rather. He was whipped so that we could be healed. So we knew, the scripture says that Jesus himself knew no sin. He had no guile in him. There was no iniquities upon him. There was no sin, but he bore that for us. And so James 5:14-15 says, are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Mark 5:25 says, it tells us that there was a certain woman. This woman had an issue of blood. You know the story for several years. So the word tells us that she spent all of her living, everything she had, in other words, all of her money, to different doctors, but she was no better until she heard about Jesus. And so Mark 27:28-38 says, she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. So verse 29 says, immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over, the translated version. So this woman got faith when she heard the word. She heard Jesus teaching and preaching about the power of God and about repentance and about holy living and teaching them how to operate in the scriptures. She heard people talking about this Jesus who were able to heal the sick and raise the dead. And she heard this going on. She heard the word. And so she thought within herself, if I could just get to him, I know I'll be made whole. He don't have to lay hands on me. I just want to touch a part of his garment, the part that the holy part can sit through, where the anointing of God is. I can just fall through the crowd. And she actually thought she could just sneak up in there and touch him and be made whole. When you have that kind of faith, well, you just say, I don't even need, you know what? He don't have to lay hands on me. He don't have to speak to me. If I could just brush up against him, he is the Son of the living God. Hello? And I'll be made whole. So many times, we pray to God the Father. We say, if it be thy will. And this is what we need to understand. It's in God's will that we be made whole. Do you say the thing you ask of the Father in my name? It'll be given unto you, right? So we say to him, when we pray to the Father, we say, if it be thy will, simply because of how we've been taught. But it is not scripture to pray, if it be thy will, because that signifies doubt, and doubt is unbelief. Hello? And unbelief is disobedience, and disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. And I know the scripture says that, you know, you should not plan your day or tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring its own troubles, and the Scripture says that you should say, well, this will be the Lord's will, we're going to do thus and thus. But it don't say if you pray and ask God for healing or deliverance, say if it's your will, because this is God's will, hello, for us to be healed and made whole. So God promised in his word, anything that we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, believe it. You can't just ask waiting, you know, they're waiting on the lightning to strike and stars to stop flying and sparks and everything, and nothing happens. And they walk away without receiving their petition, because you can't just ask and just walk away and think, ooh, you got to have some faith to apply something. Amen? Faith is an action word. So he said, anything we ask the Father in the name. Remember that if we were born again, saved and have the mind of Christ, that we are in the will of God, and it is in God's will to bless his children. He loves to bless us. I know it sounds humble and pious when we pray that way. We say, Lord, if you will, please. Because I myself many times have prayed that way, but I learned the word on the word. Because you can go, Lord, if it's your will. And that says that when you first settled last week, and when you get take faith to get saved, because the Apostle Paul said it is nigh you, even in your mouth, that if you confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. It takes, and believe in your heart, it takes faith to get saved. For that same faith ought to let you know that now that I'm a child of God, like the word of God says, anything that I need, he'll meet my need. Hello? So you, it sounds deep and pious, glory to God, amen, and we all pray that way, but when you learn better, you do better, right? Amen. So doubt-filled prayers, when you pray that way, it's full of doubt, and doubt-filled prayers are not pleasing to God, and they will not move him to blessing you. It's pretty easy, you know, if you will, you got to know that he will. You got to understand. You don't say, Mom, you know, if you can pay the light bill, if you can, can you put a roof on my head? Because you know it's her will to have to let you pay. It's daddy's will to make sure you have food to eat and a roof on your head and clothes. Hello. And if they can provide it, they will. Well, our Father can provide it.
Yeah.
Hello? So there ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about him. He can. So when we pray in faith, you don't have to use the word if, because you won't get an answer to your prayers by using the word if. He's waiting for faith. It takes faith to move the hands of God. When God told Abraham to say, get you up and your family and XYZ members and y'all go, take your nephew and y'all go, and I'll tell you where you're going, just get up and go. He didn't say, okay, well, give me some direction, give me a hint. Can you write on a piece of paper, you know, throw me a line, something, tell me where I'm going. He got right up and left. Because he believed God. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and for that it was counted to him as righteousness. We have to believe God. Amen? Believe him for what he says to be the truth. Amen? He is the truth and the living God. Glory to God. Amen? He's our Father. And we have to see him that way. We have to stop treating him like he's some alien or some foreign being that's untouchable, and he's our daddy. I understand that a lot of people don't have a father-daughter, father-son relationship, so maybe they don't understand the concept of having a relationship with a father. But listen, when you were born again, you will remember the rebirth. Remember when you were born, you come out of your mother's womb, you're a brand new baby, everything is brand new, so you have to be taught and raised and nurtured and governed and, you know, and shaped and formed, and these are things that God does to us through our trials and through the tribulations that we go through situations and circumstances in our lives. God is making us and molding us. We were his new babe. And so now some of us are grown, and he's still daddy. He's still father. Hello? Because he said, except we keep the mentality of a little child, meaning that we humble ourselves before him, that whatever he says, we do it, falling under obedience. Knowing the word and not obeying the word is nothing. Hello? In God, you can't move the hand of God unless you obey his word, all right? And so the only time that I would use the phrase, or if it be thy will, is when I'm in a consecration prayer. We all know the consecration prayer is the time that we spend with God, not when we're praying for the people, we're not praying for the world, we're not praying for this, that, and all our things. But we are praying for the will of God. When you say, I'm doing a consecrated prayer, you're laying before the Father to get direction. You're giving yourself over to him for him to take control of you, to lead you, to guide you, to give you insight, give you knowledge, give you wisdom on the next step. So, you know, Father, I'm here for you. This is my consecration. We're consecrating myself to you this week. What is it? You know, what if it's your will, you God, you mean that's the only time that you would pray if it's your will, because now you are seeking the Father's will for direction, for guidance, for your spiritual growth, for your spiritual increase. But when you know that your daddy is going to take care of you, you don't have to say if it's your will. He said, I need. He said, whatsoever we did, Jesus said, our Father already knows what we have need of. He said, we don't have to ask him. He already knows. Am I right about it? I'm going to ask somebody, is it hot in here? Please drop me 10 to 12. Well,
y'all,
it's kind of warm. It really is stifling. I felt when I walked through the door. So the only time you can use that phrase is in a consecration prayer. The prayer of faith is the prayer to change things. When you want God to move, prayer will change things. But it takes faith for God to move. Hello? Glory to God. If you ain't going to have faith on God, but praying, just give it up. Just you know, stay there and stumble and crumble and do whatever you do. But if you're going to pray and you're going to speak to God and ask God to do something in your on your behalf, on the behalf of your loved ones, you better believe that he's going to do it because he loves you if you're a child of God, right? If is a symbol of doubt, and we don't want doubt in our prayers, in our conversation. Prayer is our conversation with our Father. And doubt represents unbelief, and unbelief is sin and disobedience, and it's a sin of witchcraft. So we don't want that in our conversation with our Father. You're talking to your earthly parents, you want to make sure you tell them the truth. You want to make sure that you're fronting them, with you're there with them, you're giving them respect. And if you go before the Father with doubt, you don't have respect for him. That's disrespect. Hello? So you don't want to go to him in doubt. So if you use these if prayers, this is your will, Lord, if you're a child of God, you're praying in the will of God. You will never, ever pray out of the will of God. Everything you ask God for is in his will. You are not going to ask God to kill your enemy. Hello? Destroy your neighbor because he ran over your tree. Or whatever the case may be. I can't stand my boss. Get rid of him. A child of God don't pray that way. So you're going to pray in his will because you are a child of the living God. You have the mind of Christ. Hello? You have the mind of God. So holiness is a part of your lifestyle. So when you go to the Father, he already knows what you have need of anyway. So when you go to him, amen, you should start thanking him for it. Hello? Because Lord, I know you already know what I have need of. I just want to glorify you for meeting my needs. We have one prayer that everybody says is an outline to prayer. But I say this, it is the prayer. Because when disciples asked Jesus, they said, Master, teach us to pray. He didn't say, okay, pray on this wise, or pray like this, or this is the outline of how you pray. But he said, when you pray, say. Hello? And so when you're praying to our Father, you're using our Father, you're praying in the prayer of Jesus, so you pray that direct prayer. Then you say, our Father who art in heaven, you reverence in him. Give us this day our daily bread. You pray that prayer every day. That means all of your needs, whatever that day is, not just food. Hello? Daily bread is not just talking about food that you eat, but it's talking about your needs for the day. So say, for instance, you need to go find, get a job, and you're going on a job interview, and God knows that you need this job. You ask him for direction. The words your mouth give you what to say to give you to give you favor where you go at, because you already asked him to give you your daily bread, and that job is a part of your daily bread. You need a job. Hello? You're going down the road and somebody ran through the red light and was this close to missing you, but because you asked God to give you your daily bread, that was to protect you from death or from destruction of the enemy. Hello? So he gave you your daily bread. Amen. That's your daily need. Whatever you need for the day, he's there to do it. Lead us not into temptation. Don't you know when the enemy comes to you and somebody comes to you and tell you, is this okay, you know, God will forgive you, you can do this, or temptation comes, stuff you like to do, you might say, you ain't doing it no more, and the enemy will make it so easy for you to do that. He'll just set it on your doorstep. In fact, the people that you thought you were separated from, then they'll come knocking on your door, trouble. So you said, lead them not. Don't you know God didn't send them there? They'll say, well, you know, the Lord sent me by here, he did. And he know that you're my downfall. He know that you ain't nothing but trouble for me. And he will send you to me. That's so when you say that, you know that they're not believing not into the path of unrighteousness. These and all the same prayer that David prayed is the same prayer basically that Jesus is praying. But if God is our shepherd, we're praying our Father who art in heaven. Hello. Glory to God. So praying with faith. David said the 23rd Psalm in faith. No matter what I'm going through, he was running from the enemy on the verge of being destroyed, which, you know, he could have killed him many times, but he was running for his life several times from his son and from Saul. But he still prayed faith. He still said, God, you know everything. I trust you. I put everything in your hand. You know, get my enemy, destroy my enemy. Don't let them overtake me. Whatever the case may be, when we allow God to take full course, we say we love the Lord and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is Lord over our lives. Then guess what? We'll act like it. Huh? And so some people don't take the scriptures literally when it comes to healing. Some people say, well, that was for then. What is the point if it is? If it was for back then, what's the point? What is the point of our worship if the things in the Bible is not for us? If God is not for us, if he's not our, what is the point? Hello. So don't let nobody put that in your head. It's just that your faith ain't strong enough, and it ain't strong enough because you don't know God. And you don't know God because you're not studying the Word of God. There's no way to know God outside the Bible. I don't care what nobody tell you. I don't care if you listen to them on TV and they preach a good sermon. Bishop and I and the preachers here preaching this sermon every time we preach. I don't care. You come to Bible study, study. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, have your own sit-down time, study the Word of God with God, by yourself, prayer time, talk time with God. If it don't become personal with you, you will not know him. And you can't know him no other way but in his Word. Hello. Amen. So I can understand why some people's faith is so weak. When I have people that I prayed for over and over and over and over, see, I you know, y'all know, well, okay, I'm not like my pastor was, because if he prayed for you for one thing, he didn't come back and pray for it again. You have to use your faith. And he'll tell you, I've already prayed for that, and you know what, I'm never do that too. So it's time for y'all to step into the realm of faith. You know you don't got to pray for it, stop praising God for it. And even though it's almost like a manifest, you have to talk yourself up in faith. Get that word of God. Amen. And talk yourself up to faith. Amen. Because faith is unpleasing to God. Hello. Some people don't take it literally, the healing and the deliverance and stuff that God has promised us in the word. It's for us today. God said, I'll never change. I'm the same God. So what? He went up in heaven and just put his foot up and said, okay, let them do their own thing. No. The same God that was with Israel back in the day is the same God that we serve today. It's always the same. His power has not diminished. Hello? But he's patient. His patience is longer now. Because there were days, I'm telling you, when, you know, Israel, the stuff that they did and the punishment that they had to go through, thank God he's being a lot more patient and long-suffering with us. And if it wasn't for Jesus, somebody said, thank you, Jesus, we would have been destroyed a long time ago. Hello? So they don't believe that healing is for today. But if the Old Testament scriptures say that Jesus took our infirmities and he bore our sickness, and even when he had not even done it yet, in the Old Testament, the New Testament scriptures already agree. So this is proof positive that the will of God is for us to be healed and sealed. That's it. That settles it. Amen. But listen, I say this all the time. Let me say this. We got to use wisdom. And we got to be smart. The Bible says we have to be as cunning as a serpent, but not as subtle. So that means we don't stoop to his low-down stuff. But when the enemy comes to you, when you know that you are diabetic, and I'm just saying diabetic, I ain't picking on nobody, and the enemy comes to you and brings cake and say you can have a little bit of it, if you know what cake does to your sugar levels. You got to know that that ain't nothing but the devil. And even though you love cake and you love that person that brought it, they don't know the devil used them. Hello. And you just pray for God to set yourself, to set you up, to heal you, to make you whole. And you jump right on that cake. Now you just negated that whole prayer. You just canceled out your prayer. Because you did it. And then if it don't have anything, well, I'm just praying. They don't know how he eats. Hello. And then here you are. You're the type of person. You're praying, Lord, deliver me. Lord, draw me closer to you. Lord, I need this. I need finances. I need an increase of finances. And every time you get paid, you run into the store. Buying, shopping. You say, well, I'm not going to pay my electric bill today. I'll pay it next week because I'm a nice dress I want. I got to get my hair done, so I'll pay it next week. And then next week comes, and you don't have quite enough money to pay that bill because you threw it away. Uh-huh. And then when it comes tithing time, oh, you either miss church or you don't come, you don't put the tithe in. When you're there, you don't put the tithe in, and you want God to increase your finances. And as soon as you make it, it's like a hole that's in your back. You get paid, but the money just disappears. And you say, I know I had XYZ dollars this week. And you're living from paycheck to paycheck because of the simple fact is that you're not using your head. You got to say, okay, no. I got enough to pay electric bill. I'm paying electric bill. I'm giving my tithe off the top and my offering like the Bible says. I'm giving God here because he blessed me this week with this job. So I'm going to give him his. I'm going to give him pay what bills I can. And, Lord, I'll wait for the next check to do whatever needs to be done. Hold some money to the side. Think about what happens in the future. See, the thing is, when we have money, we spend until we broke. Don't think about tomorrow. And if you don't make it to tomorrow, you know, that's well and good. But think about, you know, I work for this money. Why don't we want to throw it away so quick? Stretch it out. Pay your bills. Get a savings account. Hold on to it. If you don't have a savings account, put it somewhere. Hide it until you get enough to get your savings account, whatever the case may be. But use your head. If you know you can't keep money in your pocket without spending, don't go nowhere near no store. No malls. You say, oh, yay, what you doing? I'm going out to the mall. You want to go? Nope, sorry, I don't want to go to the mall. Oh, come on, we ain't been to the mall in a long time. No, I really want to go out there. Why? You ain't got no money out? That's not the point. I just don't want to go there. And the internet keep on. All right, I'm going. So now you go out there, well, you know what? I should buy this. I'll buy it next week. Like this. Now you're broke. You got to learn to stand on your word. When you say, no, I don't want it. No, I'm not going to do it. You got to make that true. You got to stand. So we blow our money. Now we're praying. Oh, Lord, they're going to turn my lights off this week. And now you went in to strike down from heaven, get over there to the electric company, and tell them, make a miracle with the people at the electric company so they don't turn your electric off when you have the money before you went to spend the money to pay your bill. Use your good sense. Don't expect God to do something that you can do. It's not what's wrong with the church today. We're not using our heads. People are just going all blind by the seat of their pants and doing stuff. And now they want prayer. They want to stand in the prayer line. I want you to pray until your head hurts, back hurts, neck, everything hurts. And ain't nothing happening. You cannot pray a curse off of people. I can't pray a curse off of you. How many times can I say this? If you're not giving your tithe, how much money you make it out there, how well you're doing, you're cursed with a curse. The Bible says that. If you're not paying your bills, you're throwing your money away. The Bible says you're not a good steward over what the Lord has blessed you with. You're cursed with a curse. And when you come and stand in line all you want to, when you get paid again, the same thing will happen until you just, a bell go off in your head and say, wait a minute, wake up. Hello. You got to talk to yourself. Remember the woman in the mirror? Everybody forgot about that mirror. Then I'm putting the mirrors away. I think I need to hang some mirrors from the ceiling. Then I'm putting the mirrors away. And then nobody talking to mirrors no more. You talk to that man and that woman in the mirror. Say, wait a minute. Come to your senses. Hello. Aren't you tired of living from paycheck to paycheck from month to month? If you get a dollar, you got to spend it. Hold on to it. You want some money in your pocket sometimes. Hello. And so the Old Testament scriptures tells us that Jesus bore our infirmities and he bore our sickness. And even when he had not done it yet, like I said, the New Testament scriptures confirm it. So I don't have to say, if it be your will. Healing and blessings belong to the children of God. Remember Jesus said that to the woman that wanted healing for her daughter. He said, I can't give the dogs from it. He wasn't calling her a dog. But that was the name they called people that were not Jews in those days, the Samaritans, people that were Gentiles. But he said, it is written you don't give that which is holy to the dog. And she said, yeah, but listen at her wisdom to him. Yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table. This is a woman that wanted the heart of God. And she reached the heart of God. And what can he do but bless her after she said that? Yes, I may be a dog. I know I'm not worthy of your blessings, but at least all I need is a crumb. Hello. Amen. Go, your daughter is on X, Y, Z, and by Thursday I'm a happy ride, blah, blah, blah. These people got faith to believe that they can do it. They don't have faith in God because they don't know God. But because they have faith, they put it in action and they make a move toward it, and you see them right behind the world. And you sit up in the church all the time listening to the word of God and ain't putting nothing in action and you're still walking. Come on. We have to use our head. God give us wisdom. He didn't raise no fools. And he didn't make no junk. Tell somebody, God didn't make no junk. And he didn't raise no fools. Amen. So we have to use our head. God will, but he will take us over the top. But we got to be willing to get there. He ain't going to come and drag you by the leg and you scream and say, I don't want to go, Lord. I don't want to be blessed. But he ain't going to drag you by the leg and say, come on, yes, you are going to be blessed. No, you have to walk into those messes. Hello? So, healing and blessing belong to the children of God. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 said he was despised and he was rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. And he was despised and he did not care. He loved us just that much. Verse 4 says, it was our weakness that he carried to the cross. And not him, because he was perfect in his time. But it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrow that he carried. Our infirmities, our disappointments weighed him down. It was because of us. Hello? And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God. A punishment for his own sins. And verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. Thank the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you for making me whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Glory to God. We have to be worthy, glory to God, amen, to accept it and just receive it and say, I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm whole by the blood of Jesus. God has made me whole. He has healed me. He has delivered me. Not just my physical body, but my mental body, my heart, everything is healed. I don't think like I used to think. Matthew 8:17 says, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. God did it. And it's sad because our scientists are in the laboratories creating diseases and putting them out amongst us. Why y'all make that Ebola or something? Ebola virus. This is just out of nowhere. But they put these diseases in certain populated areas to control the population, what they call genocide. And we're supposed to know that. Huh? God has already healed us of those diseases. So you better stay in the protective hand of God. Where do you think AIDS came from? They put it over there in Africa. And it moved from Africa to the gay communities. And they spread it. Now it's all over the world. They had the antidote. They put it out there. But they wanted to see how people do. We're all lab rats to them. That's how they come up with cures for certain diseases. But God took out diseases that I am from. And these people are creating diseases. Pestilences, they putting pestilences in their life. You think God didn't know that? He already knew the mindset of these people. He already knew the mindset. And when he said spiritual wickedness in our places, we think he's talking about the pulpit. Yeah, you know, they all right. They ain't that high. Well, you know, we just preach it. We're all the folks that's controlling everything in this country, in these nations. They're the ones that can put their finger on the trigger and blow up the whole country. Hello? Those spiritual wickedness. Those people are wicked. Hello? And it takes the prayer of the righteous to keep control over them. To keep them under control. Now, 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to our sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, we were healed. Hello? So there's three witnesses right there that Christ, we were healed, already healed. So all we get control over that. We do. As a person, as a people. And we have to eat the healthy food, the vegetables. Be careful of those meats, because we know there ain't no way in the world with all these people in this country that you could just, that chicken has to be that plentiful. Come on now. Some of those meats are scary when you look at them out there. Hello. So they're manufacturing meat, and they can do that. And they're growing, farm-growing fish. They're farms, they're growing something they can feed. They never even touch the ground. They're giving them food to make them grow up in a month. Now they just hatch the day, and a month later, 30 days later, they're on the slaughter block, and they're on our kitchen table. And we eat fried chicken. That don't happen. A whole chicken, a pig, a cow, beef. Hello. In just a couple months, we're eating a full-grown beef from a little calf, fully developed. That's scary. But this is how they keep the food chain going. And we start eating right, and so we always got to have meat with the meat people. Get away from that, because it's scary. And then we ask God to heal our bodies. These people are putting cancers in us by the chemicals that they put in our food, and we still eating it. And we're saying, Lord, heal me. We got to start thinking, church folks. Start thinking. Now, we ain't just clap your hands, go out in the spirit, people. We got minds too. Use our heads. We can't let people take advantage of us, and that's what they're doing. We got to start using our heads. Y'all, it's not healthy. It's not for me. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not putting it in that soda. Oh, my gosh. Now, I said we're going to stop eating those sodas and not a refrigerator full again. Drinking those sodas. Listen. When I think about how my mom used to clean off the battery cables when they were corroded on her car, was so corroded. Pour it on there, it will fizz and burn all that corrosion off. Do wonder what's wrong in our stomach? We're eating and drinking this stuff. And we say, Lord, heal me. I need healing. You do? What you ate today? The three sodas you drank on your way to church tonight. Hello. You need to repent. You don't need the prayer of healing. You need to repent and get back on course and back on track. So we do it to lose weight, but we need to do it to be healthy, because God promised us 3 score and 10. The Bible said death coming in its own season. Don't have no part with it. In other words, don't worship death. Don't go out there living by the sword, and you won't get murdered, shot down, and killed. And don't go eat everything and nail down, and you won't have a heart attack and die. Hello. We got to use wisdom. So faith is a work. It's a work. It's not just, a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. It's not just believing, but you got to act like you believe. Start doing what it takes. I'm healed. I believe God when I heal it. Oh, so I'm not eating that. Because every time I eat that, my stomach get upset. And I know that's the cause of my sickness. But not all it tastes so good. I eat it, and then I just pray about it. I pray over it. And you still get the symptoms. Hello. We really have to start. We got to, like I say, man up, church. We got to man up. Christian woman, Christian man, we got to man up in the same. We got to put ourselves back on track, because we're asking God to do something. Every time we pray and we do the opposite of what we should do, we negate. In other words, we cancel out the prayer. So now we're starting over. Now we're blaming God. I've been praying and praying and praying. Ain't nothing worse. What? Think about it. And if we backtrack what we've done, what we said and how we acted, then we already know that God, hey, we messed this one up. It ain't God. He already did what he should do, all right? So all we need is faith to believe the word of God. And if you believe the word of God, you'll have faith to stop eating that stuff that you like to eat all the time. You'll have faith to stop going to the places that you like to go to. And you'll have faith to stop hanging around those people that you like to hang around with. If you truly, truly believe the word of God, you'll have faith to stop doing the stuff that you know is wrong and know it's an abomination to the Lord. You'll have faith to stop doing it. Come on, people. I mean, all of that go with it. We got to present ourselves. The Bible said, Apostle Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. And sin kills us. Sin means you're a dead man walking. Walking the green mountain. Hello? And so if here you are wallowing in sin and ain't nothing happened yet, some of the things that you're doing, some things that are going on in your life is the result of what you did. Hello? What you did. The life that you live. Glory to God. And God didn't do that. You did. Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Your actions condemn you. When folks always say, well, my Lord, let this happen. He did. What did you do to get there? On your way there. Huh? Come on, people. Amen. So we have to study ourselves. We have to make sure that we study ourselves, not just go reading and studying and hearing the word and not do it. James said, be you a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, deceiving your own self. What does he mean by that? When you hear the word and don't do the word, you think you're all right. You're not all right. You think because you sit up in the church every time the door's open, you're okay, and you ain't doing nothing the word? Say no. He said, you deceive your own self. He said, be you a doer of the word. Not just a hero. Oh, that was a good message. That's a free. Oh, boy, did she rock the house? And you go right out and do everything. Slam, bam. What was sold in the word? Not to me. Hello? So what a day saying? You deceive yourself. Even though you shouted all over the church and everybody had to cover you up with a sheet. But you still went out there and did the total opposite of what the birds, they don't do. So you just deceive your own self. Jesus said it himself. Search the scriptures because in them you think you find the keys to eternal life. You will find if you accept the word and go in and dissect the scripture, read those scriptures, you'll find out who you are. You talk about looking at your face in a mirror. But folks don't read the word of God. They read some things that they like to read, but they don't read the whole scriptures, the whole Bible, because it's telling them. But that's what we need. We need to confront ourselves. Hello? So if the word says it, then circumstances and situations should not move us from what the word of God says. What people say should not move us. How people think. Yeah, but I believe. Yeah, I think. That should not move you. From whatever the word of God says, you ought to be one to stand on. Know that it is God's will to heal us and to make us whole, and that's no doubt about that. Know that it's will, his will to have you delivered from that thing that you like to do that's out of his will. Know that he want to have you delivered from that gluttonous spirit, from that spending spirit, from that fornicating spirit, that lying. You know that he want to have you healed and delivered from that, and you shall be, no matter what nobody else says. Hello? I had a friend tell me a long time ago, many years ago, when I first got into the church, and I was still smoking cigarettes, and she was her, I mean, you know how people do, we see ourselves one thing, but we see the preachers another one. And this preacher had come to our church, and boy, did he preach the pews over. I mean, he tore up the church. People was jumping across the pews, it was so high in there. But when he got in his car, and he was waiting. Somebody had him blocked in, and he lit a cigarette. And we were standing out there talking, and I looked at her back. Isn't that the preacher? So she said, yeah. I said, but he's smoking a cigarette. She said, so? I said, so? He just preached the word of God, tore up the church. People still trying to get themselves together from his preaching. And he's sitting in a car smoking a cigarette. She said, well, some people just can't quit smoking. I said, and I didn't know the word. I said, but that's wrong. He's a preacher. I'm trying to quit myself, and I see the preacher smoking. And that my condemnation to him was that he was supposed to be an example. Don't justify me smoking, just like it didn't justify him, but I saw him as an example. And then as years went by, I learned that the reason you don't do those things is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And cigarette smoke does not bring cancer, and cancer destroys the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says, he who destroys this temple, him God will destroy. And we wonder why cancer, we wonder why we're sick. And I'm not talking about the cancers that come from other things. But we wonder why that people end up with throat cancer. When I'm around people, I know a man that died from throat cancer. He never even smoked because he worked around people that smoked. Thank God they passed the law that you can't smoke inside buildings anymore. But he died of lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in his life. But everybody around him smoked. And he worked that job for more than 30 years. So when I pass my mouth, I trap in hell. Hello? Because those years of smoke in my system from many, many years ago, over 30-some years ago, but still, I'm scared. I don't want nothing near. Hello? So, we have to understand that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, so we have to keep everything in check. If you don't have the faith to believe God, then ask God to give you the faith. Ask him to help your unbelief and to help your faith. The Bible says God gave every man the measure of faith, so you got faith for something. How about having faith for God? You believe what you want to believe. People believe what they want to believe. God said, look. You believe in a man. You believe in a woman. You believe in your job. You have worked every day faithfully, those that work. And you believe they're going to pay you on payday. How about you go to work on payday and knock on the door and keep it up just the money down? Hello? But you believe they're going to do that. And you can't believe God. The creator of the heavens and earth, your holy father, he said, cursed is the man that put their trust in man. But you put your trust in man. Hello? And you can't put your trust in anything else. So ask him to help you, to give you faith, so that you can move mountains, so that you can move the hand of God. Because it takes faith to move the hand of God. Your salvation faith puts you in a position to have the measure of faith that the Bible says that God gave to every man. You, by faith, you were saved, you accepted Christ, the salvation of the Lord. So by faith, you were given the portion of faith that God gave to you. So you need to help, ask him to help build it up. Get in that word, spread that word, so that word has something to feed on. Hello? And so your faith will grow. You have the faith. It just needs something to feed it so it'll grow. And the only thing that's going to feed it is the word of God. Lies won't feed it. Other conversations won't feed it. Sitting around laughing and joking and talking and shooting the breeze ain't going to feed it. It's the word of God that's going to feed your faith so that it will grow. Because he gave it to every man. All right? If you have faith to believe God for salvation, like in Romans 10:17, then you have faith to believe him for your healing too. You have faith to believe him for your deliverance. You have faith to believe him for whatever it is that you need. If you can believe him to be saved, you can surely not believe that his hand moves in your life. Am I right about it? You heard the word, and the word is what it is in your spirit. You act upon that word. You hear it. Then you start moving. And guess what? When you start moving, God starts moving towards you. Remember the scripture says that God inherits the praises of his people. Praise gives God glory, gives him thanks, because now you trust him, you believe in him, and it brings him to you. And when God comes on the scene, but the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you begin to praise and glory God, cry God, you got to work on him, not like you start. Like some people, you ain't trying to move nothing. You ain't trying to move. See, the devil wants you where you're too cute to praise God. Because he knows that once you begin to get out of yourself, the Bible says, all of us sacrifice for praise. When you give God a higher, a gut praise, when you start praising him, I mean, from your gut, and it's coming out of your mouth, the devil starts taking notice. He starts running. He don't know what this is now. Because now he sees you got something. But when you he knows you ain't got nothing. That's fear. And that doubt. And you can't move the devil. He'll stand right there. He's playing with it. Looking over there. He's playing with it. And you know what? When you leave the church, when you leave the atmosphere, he's going to smack your head completely out. Why? Because he knows you ain't got nothing. Faith, praise, gut praise, all that go together. And the more you praise him, the more your faith increases, because now you're under the power and anointing of God, and all you want to do is pick up the word and hear the word and know this God all the more. I want to know him. I want to know about him. I want to know his moves. I want to know why he did Israel like he did. I want to know what they did to make him judge them that way. And I want to know why he loved them so much and why he sent Jesus there to me. I want to know my God. I want to have faith in the Father. And you can't have it just, you know, laying around watching TV and all that kind of stuff. It won't work. If you're praying those empty prayers, then you can see for yourself why you cannot move the hand of God. You can see why you pray. I was talking to somebody Sunday after all of the preaching and praying at the churches. Christ.
No, no, no.
I thought, what? I was expecting that. I'm like, what part of the service did you not get it for? Come on, people. We, as a people, we can't draw souls to the kingdom because the kingdom tow up. Somebody say that. Say the kingdom is not tow up.
It's just a little illumination. It looks like it.
But the church tow up. And we can't bring nobody to God because we don't have the faith that takes to draw them. People want to know why you believe the Bible says, seven things of the fruit of God, work on the song for this purpose that you may be able to write in the back the word of truth so that you can answer a man and he asks you, why do you believe what you believe? Some of us can't even answer.
My mom is called my mama.
Well, Pastor said, that won't convince nobody. You gotta be able to convince somebody to come to the Lord. The Bible said, compel them to come. And at this point, the way the church is, not just here, everywhere, but the way the church is, folks don't have a kind of faith. They have a jumping faith and a shouting faith, and you know, lay hands on the top of walls and church faith, you know, and I dance and all this kind of stuff, and I can sing and I can do this. But they don't have a faith to believe the word of God and the power of God, to know who their God is. People still don't need you to tell them they're sinner. You think they don't know that? That's just like saying, trust your past. I have a mirror in my house. I know this. That's not news to me. But who you tell a sinner they're sinner? Who you need to tell them that the Lord loves you? God loves you. There's a better way out for you. You don't have to live this kind of life. You don't have to be here. You don't have to suffer these things. They need to hear something good, and your faith will get you to the point that you can tell them, let me tell you about my God. I used to do what you do, but God. I used to talk like you talk, but God. I used to go to places you go, but God. When you begin to get to know God, when your faith begins to get elevated, you can really tell people about the goodness of God, and you don't need to take a test. You tell them what you know. You ain't got to pick up a scripture and say, okay, wait a minute, let me take it to the Bible. Because they'll say, you know what, I can read that myself. Tell me what you know about God. Hello? They're different. And they'll quote scripture from Genesis to Revelation for you, but they want to know what you know about God. And the church don't know nothing about God, I don't know. The church don't have that intimacy with God like they used to have a long time ago. And it's time for the church to get back to that intimacy with God because it takes faith to move the hands of God. We walk in these little pity blessings and we say, oh, you know, the Lord is moving, Lord of this. You ain't seen the hand of God move like you want to move for you in your life. You have not yet moved the hand of God. You ain't even felt the iceberg of what God wants to do in your life. If the saint, if the church was in a place of faith in God that it should be, this place will be filled with people. Why? Because you and everybody else are set upon the anointing because they have a relationship with their God and they tell him, dying men and women, that the wages of sin and death but the gift of God is eternal life. I can lead you to a place where you can be blessed. I can lead you to a place where you can receive the word of God, the will of God. Hey! Glory to God. But see, we leave all of that in the church. We leave when we come to church. We need the church, everything stays right there. And we expect to have faith in God. Faith is what an action word, right? Y'all still here? Y'all go home then. So you can't be praying those iffy prayers. You can't just throw that prayer away and just think, okay, it's out there. You know, if Lord, if it's your will, you know, I'm praying, you know, and then get up and say, well, I think the Lord might do it. No. If you think he might do it, then guess what? You don't know God. That tells your relationship with your Father. Now you need to know your God. And I think he might help me. You know, I prayed and I asked God. I've been waiting to see. You need to throw them prayers away. Or you'll be waiting a long time. It takes faith to move the hands of God. You understand that? So start over. But you got one of them empty prayers, and you know what? I've been praying about this thing. That's why it hasn't happened. I've been praying, Lord, it'll be your will. Lord, you know, please do it for me. Now I'm going to pray, Father, I need this. And I'm going to believe, Lord, I thank you. I'm going to praise him and start thanking him for giving me this. Hello. This is what I need, and I'm going to do my part. Hello. I will be a tither. I will be a giver. I will pay my bills when I should be paying. I won't be in the grocery store throwing my money away. And I'm not going to eat everything they nailed down because I know it's not good for me. I'm asking God to do something for me that I got to do my part. Hello? You can't just do any old thing and think that God is going to be just moving on your behalf. He's waiting. He's standing, and he never, ever left the spot he was in. But every time you sin, you walk away from him. He don't move. He's right there. You got to repent. The Bible says in Revelation, you got to repent and do your first work all over again. Come back to the Lord. Lord, I didn't have the faith that I should have had in you. I apologize. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm starting over. I'm seeking your word now. I'm going to start studying your word and applying your word daily. You can't go by what you feel on this journey. It's not a feeling walk. Amen? Just throw that prayer away. Unbelief is disobedience. And all manner of disobedience is sin. When an elder in the church lay hands on you and prays for you, don't waver in your faith. The Bible said a prayer of faith will heal the sick, and God will raise them up. And if it's committed in the sins, he will forgive their sins. The prayer of faith for your healing went before God. You are healed according to the word of God. So all you got to do is speak it. All you got to do is act like you believe you were healed. Hello? Act like you believe you were delivered. Act like you believe you said, I'm the Lord delivered me from cigarette smoking. Don't smoke no more. Bishop told the time when he threw his cigarettes out the window, he almost jumped out of the car behind him. But he kept that faith. And guess what? God delivered him completely. Hello? You got to want it. I had Minister Carey, you know what, I was so tired of smoking, and I fell on my knees. I said, Lord, take this away from me. She said, Pastor, when I got up, the God took the taste of me, and I didn't smoke no more from this way to this way. If you want it, and it's in your heart, believe that he's taking it from you and let it go. You got to let it go. There are things that God delivers us from that we go right back and pick it up again. He done set you free, and you go right back in there. He's like a dog. The Bible says Jesus is like a dog that goes back and eats his vomit. Y'all know dogs will throw up and slurp their vomit right back up. Ew. And when God delivers you from something and you go right back in it, that's just like you threw up and went back there and slurped it back up again, bro. Disgusting. Hello. The more you hear the word, the stronger your faith will get, and the more you will grow in the power of the Lord. The more you hear the word, then the sister said, how can they hear without preaching? How can the preach that unless it's been sent? The preacher's been sent to you with the word. And even though I hear Elder Marion, Elder Minister Marion, Elder Marion, great God, she's soon to be named as Elder Marion herself. But Elder Hazel Marion said one day, we be trying to preach, and the preacher be preaching, and we be reading and studying our word. Of course we can read and study our word. Of course we can read our Bible. But that's the thing that God was telling the pastors that he won't tell you. And you can read and study. That's why you need to be in the house of God. So you can hear the word of God and obey the word. Don't just be a hearer, but be a what? Doer. What? A what?
A doer.
Who? Doer of the word of God. Amen. That is why the church attendance is so important. Everybody can't come all the time, but every chance you get, you need to make your way to the house of God. You don't know what's there for you. Hello? There is provision for every one of our needs in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's salvation, first of all, because in order to get from God, you got to first be saved. You got to have salvation. There's salvation, there's deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and sound mind, peace of mind. Everything we need is in the word of God, is in the power of God. Glory to God. God has placed it there for us. We ain't flying blind. How about that? But some people are. Some people are flying blind. There are people. I knew a pastor, thank God, in the arms of the Lord now. I knew a pastor that couldn't read nothing, a word at all, but she could read the scripture. God taught her how to read the scripture. This is the kind of God that we serve. See, y'all pity-patting this thing. Y'all playing with God. But when you really get a relationship with God, nothing is impossible. Did the Bible say nothing is impossible for those that believe? Hello in God. God taught her how to read scripture. Glory to God, amen. And she could read and preach it then when her sight went away. He put the scriptures in her heart that she was blind and she could stand up and preach Genesis and Revelation, saying what book to go to, what scriptures God put that in her. But that's the relationship that God wants with his children. That even though you read it, God, that won't be remembered. When you need the Spirit, bring it right back to you. And you can tell, hello. Glory to God. Word for word. My God. There are provisions for us. The faith to receive your answer to any of these comes from hearing the word of God. If you need an answer to salvation, deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, sound mind, peace, whatever it is you need from God, you need your answer. The faith to receive those things from God has to come from the word of God. No other way. Continual, fervent Bible study increase your faith. I remember the first time I started reading the word about God, I had made my confession according to my sister, Elva Marion. She told me to call the TBN prayer line, and I did. And I accepted Christ. You know, 25 years old, then, for the things were going on in my life. She told me to call the prayer line, and I did. And I got saved. But I still wasn't going. They sent me to a church. I didn't go to that church. I stayed with my church, the church I had been attending, and all my friends with it. But I did start reading the Word of God. And I started the Proverbs. And I'm telling you, when you read this Proverbs, you may think it's hard, but it's not. It's that the things that I learned in that scripture, in that book, awesome how God just threw himself out there because I was seeking him. And I learned to ask him to teach me his word. I promise you that if you ask God to teach you his word while you're reading, if you ask him to open it up to you, I promise you he'll do that. He won't leave you hanging. He will not leave you just out there, you know, with no understanding because you want it. You really, in your heart, want to know him. I promise you, he will meet you. He will meet you where you are. I sit up in my bed in the middle of the night by myself, and I was the Lord, you open the scriptures and tell me what it reads. And I would feel my scriptures, hear them turning when the pages turn. And I put the Bible in my lap while I'm sitting up in the bed. I put my hand on the Bible, and the Spirit with the Lord would turn the page and then stop, put my finger right here. You need a relationship with God like that. I think if I was, I'll never ever see him until I leave this life. But when I have that type of relationship, and fear, you think I'm not afraid? Yes, I am. Fear comes on me when I feel this presence around me that way. But I need something from him. I go past fear when it comes to God. I humble myself in his presence. Lord, I'm scared to pieces, but whatever I need from you, and then you put a peace on me, then there's no more fear. There's a peace. Nothing but a warmth on me. And I'm reading, I'm studying, and I'm hearing God. One night I was reading, I read this testimony here, and I'm asking this question. I'm at the end of my lesson. I was reading, and I was in the book of Exodus, and there was a cowboy picture on. And you know how you read, you have the television on? I turned the television down low while I was reading, so that had some light and thrill with me. And I was reading, and I had my little nightlight, not too bright. Bishop wasn't home, he was out. And I saw something on the cowboy, just started shooting, just outside. I stopped reading it, and I looked at it. And I thought, I had my motor, I'm going to turn it up. I turned it up, it came up. And they started speaking, I don't know, Spanish. And so I got to the end, wait a minute, what channel is this on? And it was on channel 10. I said, oh, what language are they speaking? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, read on. I went back to my bed and sat back. And I turned that thing way down, and I started to read my Bible. And I tried to stop, and he said, read on. And I kept reading until I got to the scripture where he began to talk to me concerning me. The scripture was not written for me, but God spoke to me and told me some stuff about me that night. But I was trying to stop reading the scripture so I can watch that cowboy picture. And the dialogue became another language, so I couldn't even understand. Scared me to death, but I didn't put my Bible there. So right there with that Bible, just sat right there with that Bible. God wants to have a relationship with you. This is why I can't disconnect from God if I wanted to. Because when you seek God, your faith will begin to increase in him to the point that nobody can tell you nothing. And you, they may not agree with how you believe God or how he moves in your life. And they may be afraid of a lot of things God do with me. People think I'm off, but that's all right. I don't mind. And we're different. We're peculiar people. But then when you have that relationship with God, the stuff that you would do, like Paul said, the sin is always present, always ever present around us. So the stuff that you would do, you won't do it because now you know, everybody got to tell you, you already know that God is right there. You already know because he'll start speaking to you. So you need that relationship. We need one-on-one with God. We have our together fellowship with God, and that's good. But what about your one-on-one? That's why so many people are so quick to fall out of the gospel because they don't have that one-on-one. Close your door. I don't want to be disturbed. This is my Saturday. This is my next 3 hours, just me and God. I mean, you just sit there with your Bible study and listening to him. So ask him, ask God. I promise you, if you ask him, get to yourself, turn the TV, turn the radio off, turn your phone off, get with God. Ask him, Lord, talk to me. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want to tell me. I need to hear from you. He'll start speaking to you. But you have to have the word in front of you. Don't play with God. It's the most beautiful thing. The smell is aroma. You know any smell? I tell you all the time, you can smell his aroma. The smell, the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the most beautiful thing. And all it takes is total commitment. Don't try to do it the way you think it ought to be done or the way your friends say do it. Seek God for yourself. Amen. Have a relationship with him. Because God loves us. Okay, so we talked about the last lesson, how faith comes in part one. So I just have a few questions. I know some of you weren't here last week. The next week we're going to be here because we're here. Oh, we'll be here. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, everybody. Question number one, those who were here, I hope you got your notes. Do you have any comments or any questions before I ask y'all a question? Any questions before I ask the question? I just want to know who was paying attention. Okay. Who should we blame if our faith is weak? Ourselves. Somebody tell me why. Okay. It's an answer. Somebody tell me why. Why should we blame ourselves? God is there, and it's up to us to put forth the effort and the study, right? But you said, only you.
But we have to speak God first.
We have, and it's right there for us. We don't have an excuse. And how many know that the Bible is everywhere? Y'all got it on your phones. It's a dollar at Dollar Tree. So we can, and we have Bibles all over this church. And if you don't have one, you know your own study Bible, you'll get one. Nobody should be without a study Bible. We can buy everything else, we need to buy a study Bible. Hello? So we don't have no excuse. So yeah, if we get our faith, then it's our own fault, but we can't blame God. He sure can't blame the past, because when I pray, you have to need God to do exactly what he said he's going to do. But it's up to you to believe. Remember now, when Jesus prayed, he said, do you believe? Remember, whenever they came to him for prayer, he said, do you believe that I can do it? Do you believe that this can be done? So their faith, they had to say yes. Their faith had to move. And those that have faith to believe that God, before he even said anything, because they came with faith. So if your faith is as strong as it should be, if you study the word of God, when you walk up there, when you come up for prayer, God already did because of your faith. It's already done. All you need to do now is just pray that. But some folks want to, breathe themselves going around or whatever the case may be. But if you go ahead and praise God, then Lord's going to call on you anyhow. Because you already got the faith to believe that it's done. It's already done. So when you come for prayer, always believe God. You come to get everything God got for you. Right? It's like some people come and say, I ain't going nowhere. They ain't going to make me fall. And then you put them on that. We're like, okay. Let me pray for you to move on. Number two, why is hearing the word of God so important? It increases your faith. Anybody else? You agree with that? Gives you more understanding of God and have a better relationship with God. Amen. Anybody on your top of that? That's a good one over there. Amen. I'm in too close to y'all. Y'all heard me bad, right? Number three, in Acts 10, and you can look, why did the angel tell Cornelius to send for Peter? Y'all remember the story? We talked about that last week. Why did the angel tell Cornelius to send for Peter? The book of Acts, chapter 10. A manner, so he can minister to them what he can tell them. What was he ministering to them? Salvation. Exactly. Because he knew knew about Christ. He was had become a Christian, but he had not yet been received Christ, but born again. And so he really needed to receive salvation. He needed to see them to bring salvation to him. Number four, in Acts chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, the man was healed because he had fallen. Each did three things. And what were those three things? I told y'all to write them down last week, remember? Remember when he went to Paul and Paul said, "Silver and gold I have none." Remember I told you there were three things that Paul did and three things that the man did and this helped him get his healing. These are three things we need to carry. People don't bring in notebooks to Bible study. I know where you're going to study. Are you going to review your lessons? What was one of them? What did Paul do? There were three things that the man was healed, but Paul healed the man, but there were three things that they both did in order for him to receive his healing. It's not written in scriptures, but you can find it when you read the scripture. It's put in the spirit what it is. 14:7-9. Okay, remember now, listen. Number one, Paul preached the gospel to the man. Remember, you can't have faith without the word. Hello? That's the one thing he did. He preached the gospel to the man. The second thing is, Paul had spiritual insight, and he saw that the man had the faith to be healed. Remember? Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that God can do this? He had the faith. He preached the word to him first. The man heard the word. Then he saw that the man had the faith to be healed because he asked him. And then number three, he told the man to rise up and walk. He spoke the word to him, and the man did what? So the man did what? Paul preached the word, and the man heard the word. Okay, the second thing was, Paul saw that the man had the faith to be healed, and the man did have the faith to be healed. And the third thing was, he told the man to rise up and walk, and guess what he did? He got right up. He leaped up off the floor and started walking. He just said, "Mom, you know, I've been like this all my life. Does somebody give me a hand and help me up?" No. The Bible said right immediately he jumped up. Faith will make you move right then. You don't think about it the way, you know, I don't know. You know, well, you know, I always had this, you know. But he jumped right up. He was a lame man born that way. But he had faith. He heard the word. He received the word. And he acted on it. So the three things you have to do. When you come up for prayer, you already come up believing that God is going to do exactly what you need. When you get the prayer, you receive it and act on it. You start praising God. But you got to tell people to praise God by telling the preachers to work with them and teach them how to praise God. When you got to tell somebody to praise God and they don't believe that they received it, and they won't have it. You know, he's just going back there and everything just like it was. And it's hard for them to have faith to believe God for anything because they don't come to church. And definitely don't come to Bible study, and you can't have faith in God outside of his word. All right? In Mark 5, in Mark 5:34, how was the woman who read that issue of blood made whole? What did she do to be made whole? She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The hem of his garment. And know what that hem is? Let me just clarify that. They wore the cloak, and we call it the prayer cloth now. Because they wore the cloak. And I saw it in the prayer cloth some time ago, but this is what he wore. This was his cloak in the outskirts of his body. Before God ordained that priest murder, the Jews murdered. This was the outskirts. On here is the Holy Inscription. And he wore this on the out, the cloak. But the string of thick roots that hang through these holes come all holy animal. And so this was, these had the holy, each knot represented a promise of God. And some of them were real long. And so this was considered the holy part of the robes that he wore. And so all she did was grab these right here, considered the word of God was in these. And all she did was touch one of these. And she got her healed. Okay? But she said, I don't need it. When she said the hem of his garment, it wasn't like he, like a old, like regular clothes like he wore. It was the prayer part of the anointed part of the shawl. She got up under there and she began to touch it. The Hebrews got a certain cloth that they wore, and it was fashioned on this tile here. And each one, the blue represented the So she did touch the hem of his garment. Number six, how did the man in Lystra get the faith to be healed? He was talking with Barnabas. They taught, he heard the word. They were preaching the word. Paul and Barnabas were preaching. They were preaching about Jesus, about what he did to him or whatever, and he received it. But he heard the word. Right. Number seven, what do the Greek and Hebrew words for salvation imply? What do they imply? Jesus. Salvation, right? The Greek and Hebrew word for salvation is, remember, I don't know if y'all paid attention when Rabbi was here and he taught, he was saying that when you hear the word salvation, it's really Jesus. Salvation is God is with us. So when you hear the word salvation, it's really Jesus. So when you accept salvation, you really accept in Jesus. Remember that? It implies, this Greek word implies Jesus. According to James 5 and 15, what kind of prayer will save the sick? James 5 and 15. Look at the Bible, read James 5 and 16. What kind of prayer will save the sick, huh? Read it. The prayer of faith. Did you read that in the distance? The prayer of faith will heal the sick. Save the sick. Okay. Number nine. When you put an if in your prayer, in praying for anything, God has promised you his word. What are you praying? Doubt. You're praying in doubt. Right. Amen. And the last one is, what will happen as you determine to see yourself word, the word of God can be? What will happen? You will grow and your faith will increase. Amen. Amen. Can we confess to God tonight that we promise to feed ourselves the word of God more? Hello? Amen, amen. Feed ourselves more the word of God so that our faith will grow. And I'll know how strong your faith is. Amen. We will go, right? Amen, amen. God bless you. Any questions or comments on tonight's message?